Hello and welcome to episode number 46 of the AFTV Newscast, being recorded July 1st, 2016. My name is Elias Saba and I run AFTVnews.com, and this is where I talk about the week's Fire TV news. Thankfully, I was able to live stream this week. Like I said in the last episode, I wasn't sure how my schedule was going to be this week, but I am here live streaming as usual on Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific. Always welcome people who come and watch live and interact with me on Twitter. They can always tweet me questions. I've already got a question here waiting for the second half of the episode. Not too much as far as Fire TV news this week, but there is a lot to talk about, a lot of stuff going on with Amazon in general, a lot of app news to talk about, some new TV streaming apps out this week for the Fire TV, a lot of deals to talk about. So definitely going to be a full packed episode. And I've already looked at the questions being submitted on the Q&A post, and so we got a lot of good questions there. So definitely should be a good episode. Let's go ahead and get right into things. All right, first up, wanted to talk about surround sound issues on the Fire TV that some people have been reporting. I mentioned this, I think, two episodes ago, and I was trying to look into it, trying to figure out what was going on. And turns out that the whole issue was on Amazon's server side. It had nothing to do with the actual Fire TV device itself, which makes sense because I was having a hard time trying to figure out which devices, which software updates were actually having this issue. Basically, some people were experiencing no surround sound, only getting stereo audio out of their Amazon Video on the Fire TV and not getting the same out of Netflix. Hulu and other services were getting surround sound just fine, but only Amazon Video were having issues. And so, yeah, Amazon seems to have pushed a server-side fix on their side that addresses this. And so all Fire TVs should have surround sound through Amazon Video once again. If your device is still not receiving surround sound, if there are Amazon videos that you know should be in 5.1 audio, but you're only getting stereo, what you should do is go into the settings menu of the Fire TV, go to apps, go to manage apps, scroll down, find the Amazon Video app that is listed under there, and then go into that, hit force stop, then clear the data, then clear the cache. Those are kind of the three things you should always do whenever you experience issues with any app or any aspect of the Fire TV. Always force quit the apps, always clear the data if you're okay with that. Obviously, if you have settings or, you know, personal files within an app, clearing the data is going to remove those. So definitely be aware of that. For example, if you have Kodi and you're having Kodi issues, if you go and clear the data, it's going to basically reset Kodi as if you just freshly installed it and there's going to be no settings, no nothing, you know, in Kodi. But clearing cache will never reset any of your settings. That's just basically cached files that the app is using that can always be re-downloaded. And so clearing cache is pretty much always safe. Always something you should do. Never be worried about doing that or messing up settings or anything like that. But yeah, thankfully this issue has been resolved and it wasn't anything serious and didn't need a software update or anything like that. All right, next up, there have been a lot of changes to Alexa this week. First up, you can now order anything on Amazon that's available through Prime, basically, through Alexa. Previously, you can always order through Alexa, but you can only order things that you've already ordered in the past. But now it's actually possible to just ask Alexa, order blank, and basically anything. And what Alexa will do is actually go in, just do an Amazon search, and select essentially the top item that comes up in the Amazon search and offer it to you to see if that's what you want to order, for example. And so if you're looking for something very specific, it's probably very easy to use Alexa for that. But if you ask Alexa to order something more generic, you know, the top result might not be exactly the one that you want. This feature works on all Alexa-enabled devices. You know, these are all the speakers, the Echo, Echo Dot, Amazon Tap, and also the Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick if you have the voice remote or if you use the Fire TV app on your mobile device. The feature actually works really well and the best, I think, on the Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick itself, more so than on something like the Echo or the Echo Dot or the Tap. Because on the Fire TV, when you actually ask to order something, it actually shows you the item that you're ordering with information about it, the price, and then you can actually hit the select button on the remote to go into more information and get a full screen view with reviews and options on, you know, if the product actually has options like a size or a color or something like that. So you can actually get a lot more functionality out of the Fire TV with this feature than with just an audio-based device. Thankfully, Amazon is aware that ordering through Alexa might be a little bit odd for some people. And so if you actually order something through Alexa, Amazon will give you free return shipping no matter what you order. And so Amazon does not offer that on all of their Prime products, only on some products like clothing, shoes, baby items, that sort of stuff. Pretty much always has free return shipping, but if you order through Alexa, you'll also get free return shipping just because it's very possible you can ask for something, order it, and then what you get is not exactly what you were expecting since you never actually sat there and ordered the item. If you accidentally order something through Alexa, you can always just tell Alexa, cancel my order, and it will know what you just ordered and it will just cancel it right there. So there's no harm in just playing with the feature. Essentially, when you say order blank, Alexa will respond with the item and ask you, do you want to order this? And then you have to actually respond with yes. So just saying order something does not actually put the order in. You actually have to verify it with a second step. So it's fun to just, try it out, shop around. It's fun to do on the Fire TV. You can see all the different options. You can see pictures and videos if those are available with the item also. So, you know, if there's something you're thinking of buying or something you hear about, you could totally, just sit back on your couch and kind of shop Amazon with your Fire TV and your voice remote. If you're watching the video version, you can see here what the more info screen looks like. It's basically the same shopping screen that you see on the Fire TV if you select one of the banner ads, for example. So no difference there. In order to use the feature, you do have to be an Amazon Prime member, and you do have to have a one-click ordering option set with your Amazon account, so that that's what basically Alexa will use to actually place the order. So it will already know your shipping address, it'll already know your payment method if you have that one-click ordering setup set. That's actually a decent way to prevent accidental orders. If you're a little bit paranoid or something and you don't want accidental orders through your Fire TV, you can actually go in and remove those one-click settings, and then it'll be impossible to actually order something on your Fire TV. Another option is actually just to go into the parental controls and actually add the requirement for a PIN code whenever something is ordered through the Fire TV. So yeah, there are a lot of safeguards in place to prevent accidental orders, so there's no real worry there. All right, moving on. The other change that came to Alexa this week is now the ability to install Alexa Skills using just your voice. So Alexa Skills are kind of like the apps for Alexa. They're third-party abilities that have been created by developers and added to Alexa. The skills are not enabled by default. There are over 1,400 skills available, so it's not like all of those are enabled and you can have access to all those skills just by default. You have to actually go in and turn each individual skill on that you want to have available to you through Alexa. These skills work on all Fire TVs, Fire TV sticks, all Echoes, Echo Dots, Taps. So anywhere Alexa is available, skills will work. And so if you hear about a specific skill and you know of a specific skill's name, you don't have to go through and search the Alexa app or the Alexa web portal. The Alexa web portal, by the way, is at alexa.amazon.com. So you don't actually have to use the app to install skills. You can actually just use a regular browser if you wanted. You can just say Alexa enable and then the skill name, and then just like that, it'll be enabled. So very nice little tiny feature, but probably handy once new Alexa skills, new interesting skills come to Alexa. If you haven't looked at Alexa Skills recently, now would be a great time to actually look into it, because Amazon has actually just revamped their Alexa Skill app store. I call it, basically, like I said, within the app and within the Amazon website portal, the alexa.amazon.com portal, you can actually look through the skills, read about them, see what they do, look at ratings, look at reviews. And Amazon has just completely revamped that entire experience. So now there are new categories, so you can look at skills within categories. There are very broad categories like lifestyle and productivity. And then there are very specific categories like smart home and connected car, skills that are only have to do with either, smart home devices or, connected car devices. Amazon also has curated lists like featured skills, so that they've got about, 15 or 18 or so featured skills. One of those is a new Honeywell skill that just got added this week. Lyft, the car service that competes with Uber, just added a skill this week, to match Uber's skill that was added about a month or two ago. But yeah, definitely, if you're not using Alexa skills, I think you're definitely missing out. If you do have a voice remote, Alexa skills are just a great way to just, expand the capabilities of your Fire TV. Once you find little niche skills that you find handy, you'll really miss them if you don't use them, because the few skills that I use are coming very handy. I like to use them a lot. All right, moving on to app news for the Fire TV this week. We got the release of CNN's live streaming app for the Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick. The app is called CNN Go. You can find a link down below in the show notes, as always. We heard about this app possibly coming to the Fire TV mostly because CNN's activation page added an option for Fire TV about a month ago or so, before actual Fire TV app was available. So it was pretty obvious that a CNN was going to release a Fire TV app. And sure enough, they did that this week. So the app itself has live streaming, like I said, and also has access to on-demand content, full episodes of their popular shows that are available on CNN. You do have to activate the app to gain access to the live streaming and the full episodes. cards. By activating, I mean you have to have a cable subscription. If you don't have a cable subscription, the app still has a lot of good content. You're just not going to get full length content. So there are a lot of clips, you know, 2 minute, 3 minute, 5 minute clips here and there about news topics, news stories that CNN has covered in the last week or so. And so those are all available through the app for free. You don't have to activate. You will occasionally probably see a pre-roll ad before the clips, but that's kind of to be expected for completely free content like that. It's a nice little app, nice little addition to the Fire TV. We don't have too many live news options on the Fire TV. The one that I always used before the CNN one was the CBS News app. That one is like a specific streaming only news program that CBS does. And so that is completely free on the Fire TV. You don't have to activate that app at all. So if you don't have a cable subscription and you can't access the CNN's live feed, I would definitely suggest going for that CBS app. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. But nice to see that we're getting new live features on the Fire TV. Right, the next set of new apps that came this week for the Fire TV are a Watch DIY Network app and a Watch Cooking Channel app. These apps are very similar to previous apps from Food Network, HDTV, and Travel Channel. All these channels are owned by the same company. And so we got those three other apps, I don't know, maybe about 2 months ago or so. And now DIY Network and Cooking Channel are now also available. So if you're familiar with those other apps, you'll definitely be familiar with these two apps because the formatting is all the same. The features are pretty much all the same. Both of these apps do offer a live streaming option, so you can watch live through the app what is also airing on the actual cable network channel. But of course, you're going to need to activate the app with a cable subscription. Unfortunately, there is no a la carte standalone subscription option for these channels. Hopefully in the future, you know, it seems like more and more networks are learning that people want these a la carte options and want to just subscribe to individual channels, or at least the option to subscribe to individual channels. So hopefully we'll see that in the future, but unfortunately it's not there right now. There's not too much content available for those who are not cable subscribers. So, you know, these apps are probably not for you, but if you do have a cable subscription, now you can actually watch these channels through the Fire TV. And the last new app that came this week that I want to talk about is Major League Soccer has released an official Fire TV and Fire TV Stick app. This app unfortunately does not have a live option, so they're not going to be streaming games or streaming live games or even have on-demand games. There's no full games available through this app, at least right now. Maybe down the line we'll see that, but it's mostly for fans who want to see highlights of soccer matches and analysis. And so Major League Soccer actually has some actual like shows that, you know, talk about different games and that sort of stuff. And so you'll get that content through this app. It doesn't seem like there's any need to activate it or any need to pay anything. So all the content in it is free, which is nice. But, you know, unfortunately, there isn't actual live streaming games, which are probably what most people would want, most fans of the sport would want. For those who don't know, Major League Soccer is the biggest professional soccer league in America. So, you know, it's nice to see that they released an actual official app for the Fire TV. Of course, I'll put links to this app and all the apps and all the topics that I talk about in this episode down in the show notes. Before we move on to deal news, I did want to mention that the Sling Player app for the Fire TV, this is not the Sling TV app, but actually the Sling Player that works with Sling Box, which is like a little set-top box that lets you actually access your cable subscription. But the Sling Player app has been having issues with this latest Fire TV software update. And so Sling Box has actually removed the Sling Player app from the Fire TV's app store. They actually removed it, and then just a couple days ago, they updated the app, put it back on there, said everything is fixed. You know, I saw their Twitter account tweeted about the app being fixed and, you know, being excited that it's back. But then I checked this morning, and the new fixed app is now gone. So I don't know exactly what's going on, but I know a lot of people have been asking me about this app, so I definitely wanted to mention it. But it definitely seems like Slingbox is working on restoring this app, bringing it back. My guess as to why it returned 2 days ago and then now is gone again is that when it returned, they actually listed it as a brand new app. And so those who had the old app, they did not get updated to the new app. So the old app was still there, not working. And then now there is this new app. So I think that caused some confusion. And my guess is they're possibly trying to push this new app as an update to the old app. That way people who have the app already installed don't have to uninstall and reinstall this new app. It can just auto update itself. You know, that should have been how they did it from the beginning. I have a feeling they made a mistake by listing it as a new app. So hopefully we'll just see the old app return and be functional again on the Fire TV. So just wanted to put that out there for those of you who are Slingbox users. All right, moving on to deal news. Like I just mentioned, first up, Chimpact Run, which is a game very similar to the Donkey Kong Country games on the older Super Nintendo. If those of you who are familiar with those, it's kind of like a side-scrolling game where you jump around collecting bananas, that sort of stuff. Well, this game is normally $2.99. It's currently available completely for free. Works on both the Fire TV and the Fire TV Stick. Works with both the Fire TV's game controller and with the regular remote control. So if you're looking for a decent little fun game to install on your Fire TV for free, definitely pick up this one, of course, link down in the show notes. A couple popular Disney games are also on sale this week. So DuckTales Remastered, usually priced at $9.99, down to $4.99 this week. This is a fairly new game, got released pretty much in conjunction with the Fire TV 2. And so if you're looking for this game, it's a remastered version of the older DuckTales game that was available on the older NES system. And so really fun game. I have this game and really like it. So definitely pick that one up if you're interested. And the other Disney game that is on sale this week is Castle of Illusion starring Mickey Mouse. This game has been available on the Fire TV for a little while. And this one also same price, $9.99 normally, but it's now down to $4.99. Both of these games have been cheaper in the past. I think Castle of Illusion, for example, I think the cheapest it's ever been was 99 cents, I believe, at Christmas last year, if I'm not mistaken. But so these prices are not rock bottom prices, but still, you know, half off what the regular price is for really both of these games are like full fledged console games. You know, you'll get many hours out of these games. They're not, I would not consider these to be casual games, you know, where you just kind of hop on for a few minutes and then you're kind of bored of the game. You know, there's a lot going on with the game. All right. Next up in app deals, this news, there are these five classic arcade games that just went on sale this week. I actually went back and forth with the developer over email about these games, and he has released five of these games so far. The list is Galaga, Arcadia, which is like a clone of Arkanoid, if you're familiar with that game, Puzzle Magic, Meteorite Smash, and Meteorite Smash Classic. So these five games, normally priced $1.99, he has put them on sale for 99 cents this week. He says the sale is going to last until July 5th, so it's basically like a 4th of July sale that he's got going on. And he also says that he's planning to release a new classic arcade game for the Fire TV about roughly once a month, so we can look for new games from him there. So if you're looking for these classic arcade games, definitely pick them up right now while they're on sale. And the last app deal I want to talk about is Flickfolio for Flickr, which is a photo viewing app. If you have a Flickr account and you want to access those photos and view them on the Fire TV, this app is probably the best one to do that. It's very similar, basically, from the developer of the app that I talked about last week, the Gmail Google Photos app that I personally use, but this one is specifically for Flickr. So it's normally $2.99. It's currently on sale for 99 cents, but you'll also get a 30 coin reward. So you'll get 30 Amazon coins when you purchase the app. So essentially the price comes down to 69 cents. So like I said, I'm a fan of his Google Photos app. And so if you're a Flickr user, this is probably a pretty good app for you. One nice feature about all of his photo viewing apps is that you can select whether you want to store the cached photos on the internal storage of the Fire TV or on the external storage, like on the USB drive or the SD card. And so that's a really nice feature to have with an app like this, because it's going to be caching a lot of those photos and that's going to take up a lot of space on your internal memory. So you want to offload that onto external memory if you have the option to. So nice to see that there. Of course, link in the show notes to all of these app deals that I'm talking about. All right, moving on. It seems to be a tradition now. Almost every week, Amazon is putting a whole batch of videos on sale, movies on sale through Amazon Video. And this week is no different. So a little over 50 movies have just gone on sale this morning, actually. They're on sale for $4.99. A lot of great movies. Some even new movies from 2015, like Kingsman, The Secret Service, Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials, Spy, Hitman Agent 47, Home. A lot of great movies, you know, fairly recent movies, you know, available for pretty much just a little bit more than the price to rent these movies. So if you're looking for those, you can see the full list down in the show notes. I'm scrolling through it here on the video version, but I won't really go through the titles individually or anything. So definitely check that link if you are interested in picking up any of these $4.99 movies. All right, moving on to non-Fire TV news, but still somewhat related to Amazon and streaming and that sort of stuff. So Amazon announced this week that they are going to now support Dolby Vision HDR on their HDR content. For those of you not aware, HDR stands for High Dynamic Range, and HDR video is basically brighter, more vivid video. A lot of these newer 4K TVs are now starting to support it. So a few months back, Amazon Video became the first streaming service to actually offer HDR content, but back then it was just the HDR 10. 10 standard is what it's called, but now they've also adopted Dolby Vision, which is the other really popular HDR standard, so now they're going to support both of these. Unfortunately, HDR Amazon Video is only available through very specific smart TVs right now. Obviously, the Fire TV itself does not support HDR, so there are Vizio TVs and LG TVs. I'll put a link down in the show notes to the specific models if you're interested, but there are those specific TVs that actually support this with their built-in Amazon Video app. But I'm mostly mentioning this because there's a pretty good chance, in my opinion, that the next generation Fire TV and possibly even the Fire TV Stick is going to support HDR content. You know, the main reason that the Fire TV 2 does not support HDR content is because the Fire TV 2 has a 1.4 version HDMI port and you need a 2.0 or 2.1, I forget exactly which one it is, but you need the updated HDMI compatible port for HDR, and so that's why the Fire TV 2 does not have HDR. They chose to go with that cheaper, older port. And I would imagine that the next generation Fire TV, whenever we do see it, is going to have the newer HDMI standard, and so therefore will probably support HDR and probably support 60 frames per second 4K video as well. This is just my guess, but you know, I'd be surprised if these two features were not in the next generation Fire TV. And so I'm imagining that Amazon Video supporting HDR and Dolby Vision HDR is just kind of like setting themselves up for the next Fire TV release, because there are so few people who can actually access this content right now. But later, once they bring this to the Fire TV, hopefully that will open up this content to a lot more people. But of course, you do need an HDR compatible TV to actually view HDR video. It's not just the device itself. That's because HDR video, like I said, it's brighter, and so it actually needs a TV that is capable of outputting a higher luminance, usually about twice as bright as other TVs. And it's not just about brightness, it's actually about the actual color of the video. So just in general, the picture just in general looks better. So moving forward, you're probably going to see almost all TVs supporting HDR, I would imagine, or at least all mid to higher range new TVs supporting HDR. And so it's nice to see that Amazon is getting on board with the two most popular formats. The other bit of Amazon Video news that I wanted to talk about that actually just got announced this morning is that Amazon has signed a deal with PBS to actually bring all of PBS Kids' TV shows into Prime Video. And Amazon's actually going to be the, quote, exclusive premium subscription streaming home for PBS Kids shows. And now I wanted to specifically say that quote because the wording for Amazon using specifically the words premium subscription streaming pretty much is because the content is still going to be available on PBS channels, and I'm almost positive it's still going to be available through the PBS Kids app. And that's a free app, and the content is available to stream for free through that app. But it's the premium subscriptions that Amazon is getting the exclusivity for. And so this means that Netflix and Hulu and those types of services that you actually have to pay for are no longer going to have PBS Kids content through them. So that's a pretty big deal for Amazon because, you know, a lot of people use streaming services to stream these kids' shows for their kids, you know, because they want to have that on-demand access, because kids tend to like to watch the same things over and over. And so, you know, this was a pretty big thing for Amazon to land. So I just wanted to mention that and to clarify that you're not going to lose all access to PBS Kids if you're not a Prime member. It's just going to be losing it through services like Netflix and Hulu. And so you can probably still stream it through the PBS website. You can, and like I said, you most likely are still going to be able to stream it through the PBS Kids app that is available on the Fire TV. All right, the next thing I wanted to talk about is that Amazon has announced that their second annual Prime Day is going to be on July 12th. So in about a little over a week, we're going to have another Prime Day. For those who aren't familiar with Prime Day and don't remember it from last year, Prime Day is Amazon's like personal Black Friday, essentially. It's a one-day event where Amazon Prime members can get in on some extra deals that are going to be only for that one day. And so I wrote this little post. If you're interested in what Prime Day is and what kind of deals you're going to be getting, I definitely recommend reading this post, but I'll go over it briefly because it's a little confusing how Amazon handles these deals. There are actually different classes of deals that go on during Prime Day and even before Prime Day. And so first up, there are what are called countdown deals. So starting July 5th through July 11th, basically the few days that are leading up to the actual 12th, the actual Prime Day day itself, Amazon is going to have countdown deals. Basically every day they're going to have a few deals that are just kind of getting you ready for Prime Day. And so they haven't revealed what these deals are going to be, and they don't really reveal what any of the Amazon Prime Day deals are going to be ahead of time. They kind of just surprise us with them on the actual day. But they did say that one deal is going to be a 32-inch television bundled with a Fire TV stick for $119.99. So that's pretty much the only deal that they've actually revealed, which is interesting that it's a Fire TV stick. For those who might remember from last year, the Fire TV stick was actually their basically best-selling item during Prime Day. They said they sold, I think, over 200,000 internationally, and I think over 20,000 in the US alone. And so deals like the Fire TV stick. So from last year, the Fire TV stick was discounted down to $24, and that was the cheapest it ever was, apart from the initial like 2-day pre-order $19 deal that they had with the Fire TV stick. So those coveted deals, the best deals, they are officially called Prime Day Spotlight deals. And so those will just start at any point during the day and will go until the item actually sells out, or at least the inventory that they've allocated for the deal sells out. So last year, for example, the Fire TV stick deal in the US started at 6:10 a.m. Pacific, and it sold out in about an hour. You know, it definitely did not last more than an hour. It was right around that 50 to an hour mark when they basically ran out of those Fire TV sticks. And if I recall, the Fire TV stick was backordered for like several months after Prime Day because of how many they sold on actual Prime Day itself. So like I said, you're not going to be able to know what these deals are going to be. You're not going to know what items are going to go on sale. Last year, we did have a partial list leak a day before the actual Prime Day event. So we kind of had an idea of which items were going to go on sale, but we didn't know exactly how much they were going to be. So it's kind of, if you want to get in on those best deals, you're basically going to have to just be sitting there refreshing the page, or at least refreshing my site, because I do plan to have a list of all of the best deals as they go live. I'm going to be monitoring them all day pretty much. If you go to aftvnews.com/PrimeDay2016, that will take you to basically where I will have all of my Prime Day deals. So right now there's just a placeholder there, and you'll see deals show up there as they go live. So the other type of deals that you'll see on Prime Day are actually lightning deals. And so lightning deals are things that go on every single day, but you're going to have an extra large number of lightning deals that day. Amazon says as quickly as every 5 minutes, you're going to see lightning deals pop up on Prime Day. And so lightning deals, you get a little bit of a heads up for lightning deals. So usually when a lightning deal is going to come up about an hour or two before it goes live, it will pop up in the list of lightning deals with like a countdown letting you know what time it's going to go live. And with lightning deals, you can actually add them to a watch list and be notified when they actually do go live, so you don't miss them. So I'll put a link in the show notes to Amazon's app and instructions on how to enable notifications on Amazon's app. So if you're really interested in getting in on some of these lightning deals, which a lot of them last year were really good deals, I remember I bought a whole bunch of stuff. When you add a lightning deal to your watch list, you can get a push notification on your phone when the deal goes live. And that's really the best way to get ahead of those lightning deals and be on it right when it goes live. And so I definitely recommend anybody interested in getting in on those deals to install the app, install those notifications, and use that watch list. And the last type of deals that Amazon's going to have on Prime Day are basically just called Prime Savings. And so some items will actually have additional savings that show up in the shopping cart when you actually go to check out. These items will not actually have the discount listed on the product page itself. The discount and the items will be listed on the main Prime Day page. But when you click through there, you're going to just see the regular price. And then when you actually add it to your cart and check out, that's where you'll see the discount. I'll be talking about the new thing that Amazon is doing with Android phones in a minute here. But one of the Android phones that is currently available through Amazon is actually similar to how this Prime Savings is going to work, where the phone itself is listed for $149.99. But when you add it to your cart, you see an extra $25 discount applied, you know, just it just says promo savings. And so this is how those Prime Savings are going to work. So just on various items, there might just be an extra savings. So if there are just things that you were looking to purchase that day, it would definitely probably be worth going on Prime Day, adding it to your cart, going through the checkout just to see, is there an extra savings there? And the last thing I'll say about Prime Day is that in general, there are going to be a lot of just various deals and incentives going on that day. For example, last year we saw Amazon coins heavily discounted that day. There were actually deals on Amazon gift cards where if you bought a certain number of gift cards, you got free like $20 or $30 credit. I forget exactly how much it was. And there were also incentives on using Amazon's Visa credit card. So I believe if you used your Amazon credit card to make a purchase of $100, you got $25 instantly back on that. So just in general, there's going to be a lot of different deals going on. If you want to keep track of all of them, I will be covering all of it and all the best deals that I can find. Again, like I said, at aftvnews.com/PrimeDay2016. If you shop through those links that I provide on my site, I do get a kickback from those. It's part of Amazon's affiliate program. And so it's a really good way to help support me, help support the site. And so if you are shopping on Prime Day, just try to remember, head on to that link. I'll put a link down below, maybe bookmark it and shop through that link. It really will support me and help me a lot. All right, last up before we get into the Q&A section, like I said a second ago, Amazon is doing a really interesting thing with Android phones now. So we all know they had the Fire Phone, and we all know that kind of flopped and wasn't that popular. And so now they're trying something new. So they are now going to be selling subsidized unlocked Android phones. And by subsidized, I mean there's going to be a discount on the phone if you buy these special Prime exclusive phones. And so it seems the discount is going to be pretty much $50. So right now there are only two phones, the brand new Moto G and this new Blue R1 phone. I'm not too familiar with the company, but it's a very inexpensive phone with pretty decent features. But you'll basically save $50 off of each phone. So the Moto G is regular price $200, and it's currently $149.99 through this Amazon Prime exclusive deal. And the Blue R1 phone is normally $100, and it's down to $49.99 through this deal. Now the catch is, the reason why it's being subsidized is that there are two key features that are different with these phones than with regular unlocked phones that are the same models. First up, you're going to have what Amazon calls special offers on the lock screens of the phones. So if you've bought an Amazon Kindle or an Amazon tablet, Fire tablet, with the special offers included, basically you get a discount on the hardware, but you will be seeing ads on the actual lock screen of the device itself. And so if you're looking at the video version, you could see this image here of what the lock screen ads are going to look like. Basically, if you don't have any notifications on the Android lock screen waiting for you, you will sometimes see a full page ad that you will basically swipe to unlock the actual phone. If you do have a notification waiting on the actual lock screen, there will occasionally be an extra notification, which is basically an ad, at the bottom of your list of notifications. And so it'll look like just any other notification. So the one they have here, it just says Catastrophe Season 2, watch now. And you know, if you tap that, I imagine it will load the Amazon app or take you to the Amazon website or something like that. These ad notifications can just be swiped away like any other notification and removed from it, but you will not be able to completely disable them as far as I can tell. The other thing that these subsidized phones will have are Amazon apps pre-installed. Normal apps like you'd expect, Amazon Underground, Amazon Video, Amazon Music, that basically their suite of Amazon apps. You will be able to hide those apps from like your home screen or your app drawer, but you will not be able to uninstall them completely. So it's just a minor inconvenience there, in my opinion. The bigger issue is the actual ads that you're going to have to deal with, because accessing your lock screen is something you probably do multiple times a day. And so you have to decide for yourself, is $50 worth seeing ads every time you unlock your phone, possibly? For the most part, these phones are unlocked, so they work with any carrier. Like I said, Motorola and Blue are the only ones that are involved right now, but Amazon says more phones are going to come down the line to this program. And these phones are pretty much identical in every way to their, you know, non-subsidized counterparts. And so you still have access to Google Play Store. You still have full-on Android features. You know, there's nothing special. These aren't Fire OS phones. These are just regular unlocked Android phones with these two extra things, the ads on the lock screen and the extra Amazon apps. So in my opinion, it's pretty good trade-off. You know, $50 is a decent amount of money just to deal with the few apps that you might see on the home screen. Like, for example, on Amazon's Fire tablets, usually you don't get a $50 discount if you choose the ad-supported versions, the special offer version. You usually save a little bit less than that. And so $50 is a nice chunk. It's especially nice because most likely the community is probably going to figure out a way to disable these ads on the home screen and probably figure out a way to uninstall the forced Amazon apps. And so there's a good chance that you'll be able to save the $50, take the phone, possibly root it, and then remove these two annoyances. So So, you know, if that actually happens, then obviously it's going to be a no-brainer to actually go with these phones if you do have the capability to actually remove that those aspects of the phones. Okay, let's move on to the Q&A section. As always, on Thursdays, I put up a post asking people to submit questions for me to talk about and for me to answer here on the podcast episode. Of course, I take questions live from people watching the live stream, which I stream every Fridays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific. Like I said earlier, I welcome anybody who can watch live to watch live and interact with me. I got a first question here from HK Armor. He said his friend called him this morning, told him that Kodi is no longer on the Fire TV stick. He says it just disappeared, and he's wondering if I'm aware of it or, you know, what's going on there. I have heard about this, and it's not that Kodi is being uninstalled or disabled or anything like that. It seems like for some unknown reason, some people are having Kodi being removed from their recent and their apps section. It seems to be a glitch because it's only a small number of people. It's not that Amazon pushed out an update or anything that is removing Kodi or anything like that. Just some people, for whatever reason, Kodi is not appearing. It's not just Kodi, it's other sideloaded apps. They're just not appearing in their recent apps section. I'll put a link in the show notes to my guide on how to get Kodi to appear in that recent section. There's a whole bunch of different things you can do to actually get it to kind of to get the Fire TV to re-see and re-sync and see Kodi as a valid sideloaded app. If you go through that guide, it should get it back up on that recent section. All right, next question is from Dean R 1977. He's asking if I know of any Kodi scripts that can auto restart the app or reboot the app whenever it freezes on him, or if there are other apps that might be able to do that. I don't know of any scripts or anything specifically. The only thing I could think of doing, I mean, other than, of course, going into the actual settings, apps, manage app section, and just doing a force stop of Kodi. I assume Dean R is looking for something quicker than that, because you can always just do that, and that will force stop it and basically, you know, restart it fresh, just as if you were restarting the Fire TV. But the only other thing I could think of is to sideload a task manager onto the Fire TV. I personally have never done this, so I can't really recommend any specific task manager. But any old task manager that is kind of that works with the Fire TV's remote will be able to, you know, force quit Kodi and even force quit all of your apps in one go. So I would recommend doing that. I know there are even task managers that will auto force quit all apps when the task manager itself gets launched, so that'll be even quicker. So if you are having issues, you can just go in, launch the task manager. You don't even have to interact with it in any way, and then just basically go in and launch Kodi, and it'll be fresh and new. All right, next question from DJ1. He says his Fire TV 1 is having an issue with his wired internet connection after replacing his router. He says he has an AFTV 2 that does not have this issue. He's wondering if there's any way to reset it without actually doing a factory reset, or if there's a way to resolve the issue without actually doing a factory reset, because he doesn't want to have to reset all of his third-party apps. I can't imagine that there's anything specific about the Fire TV that's causing the issue. It's probably more of a general issue. So I would just go through the troubleshooting things that I would go through with any networked device. Make sure you don't have any hard-coded IPs or DNS settings on the Fire TV 1. Make sure your router is actually issuing out IPs as usual, and it's not expecting the Fire TV 1 to have a manual IP or anything like that. But I mean, other than those regular networking, you know, troubleshooting things, there's not really much else you could do on the Fire TV specifically. All right, next question from Josh. He's pointing out that PlayStation View posted on their blog that the Fire TV was going to get 60 frames per second video out of PlayStation View soon. He's wondering if I know when that's going to come, whether it was an issue with Sony or Amazon, and whether it's going to come to the Fire TV stick. I don't know when it's going to come. PlayStation or Sony just said soon, so we'll probably see an update, I would imagine, in the next month or so. As far as whether it was an issue or not, there was no issue with the Fire TV or anything, so I would just imagine that Sony didn't support it through their app and they're adding it now. So I know they added it, I think, to their PlayStation 4 app recently, the 60 frames per second, and so they're probably just bringing it to other devices as well. As far as it coming to the Fire TV stick, it does not look like that's going to be the case. Sony did explicitly say the Fire TV 2 when they did post about this on their blog. It wasn't completely clear whether they were talking about all of the features that they mentioned, because they did mention the like a quick launch menu that was also being added to their app. So it wasn't clear if some of those features were coming to the Fire TV 2, or if all of those features were only coming to the Fire TV 2, but it does seem like the Fire TV stick is not going to get 60 frames per second PlayStation View, unfortunately. All right, next set of questions from Jack regarding his Fire TV 2, which is rooted with pre-rooted 5.0.5.1. First up, he's asking if he can update the SU app through the Play Store. He's referring to the Google Play Store. No, you can't, because Arbox installs the SU app on his pre-rooted ROMs as a system app, and a system app cannot just be updated through the regular Google Play Store, because the Google Play Store version of SU does not get installed as a system app. I would recommend manually downloading the SU APK file and replacing it on the Fire TV's /system/privilege app directory. I don't have a guide on how to do that, but it is fairly straightforward. You basically just have to push the file and then use a cp command, cp space the file that you pushed space the file that you are replacing. So pretty straightforward, but yeah, you can't just do it automatically through the Google Play Store. Jack is also asking about searching on the Google Play Store on the Fire TV. He says he's wondering if a keyboard is necessary. I don't think anything has changed, but when I did the Google Play Store guide, I did not need a keyboard to search, so I could actually just bring up the regular Fire TV's keyboard. And so, yeah, you don't need a keyboard to actually do that. You do need a keyboard, I believe, to still install the Google Play Store on the Fire TV too, but you don't actually need it to actually use the app. Lastly, Jack is asking about the Titanium Backup app and how to get into its settings, and about a MAME app that I might recommend. MAME is the emulator app. I've never really used the Titanium Backup app on the Fire TV, so I don't know if there are issues about getting into its settings. I don't know how to do that. And I have not explored emulators on the Fire TV just yet, so I can't really recommend a MAME app. All right, next up, we got a question on Twitter from Edwin. He says he has three AFTV2s and he uses the Amazon Photos app on his phone to upload his pictures and videos. He's wondering if those photos and videos are using up the memory on his actual Fire TV devices. Not all of them, no, but it will be using some of it. So the Amazon photo feature of the Fire TV will download and cache some of your photos from Amazon's drive, but it's not that it is actually pulling down every single photo and just storing it locally. So you're not going to use all of the space that your Amazon drive photos are using, but having photos stored in your cloud, in your Amazon drive, will actually make your Amazon Fire TV use up more space for photos. So yeah, it's not a complete one-to-one, but there will be an increase in actual internal storage used by the Amazon Fire TV because of those Amazon Drive photos. Next question here from Leathersman. He says, now that the Shield has a Plex server app, do you think that the Fire TV will get it too? He's referring to the NVIDIA Shield. And the Plex server app is not the same as the Plex client app that's already available on the Fire TV. I don't actually think that the Fire TV will get the Plex server app, only because you need a very powerful CPU to do that Plex on the fly encoding that the Plex server app does. And so I think the only reason they brought it to the actual NVIDIA Shield is because the NVIDIA Shield has a very powerful CPU in there, because it is very focused on gaming. And so it needs that really strong CPU. And the Fire TV too, for example, it has a strong CPU and it probably could do some of that Plex server encoding capability, but I don't know if Plex would bring it, because it might have some issues and they might end up resulting in people complaining that the Plex server app on the Fire TV can't handle all of the decoding and encoding capabilities that the Plex server would need. So in my opinion, I don't think it will come to the Fire TV. It might. But yeah, I would not hold your breath on it. I would not wait for it. Next up from Joe, on a similar note, he's asking if I think the Voodoo app from NVIDIA Shield will work on the Fire TV. I don't think it will. I've never tried it myself. I've never heard of anybody actually sideloading it onto the Fire TV. I don't think it will work, only because most of these streaming apps, like the Voodoo app, have very strict DRM built into the app. And that DRM usually has a hardware component, or actually has a component that has to do with the OS of the device itself. It's so that you can't just simply root the device and then have a rooted device affect the DRM, or remove or strip out the DRM from the app. So it actually has to embed itself into the OS. There actually is usually an OS component there. So because that OS component is probably not present on the Fire TV, that's probably why I don't think that Voodoo app will work on the Fire TV when it's made for the NVIDIA Shield specifically. All right, next question here from the Great Grand Pooba. He says he's having some issues with Kodi on his Fire TV too. He says whenever he restarts his Fire TV, or whenever he shuts down Kodi and launches another app and goes back into Kodi, he's seeing his background reset, he's seeing his app favorites reset. He's wondering what's going on, if I have any advice there. It sounds like your Kodi installation is being confused with where your setting files are being stored. I'm guessing that you have a micro SD card or a USB drive connected, and possibly Kodi is seeing the data, or storing some of its data on that external storage, and getting confused between internal storage and external storage. This is my guess here. It's hard to actually determine exactly what's going on. When you put that external storage into the device, it doesn't always get mounted at the exact same directory. Sometimes it changes. And so, you know, this is my guess. To fix the issue, I would go in and explicitly tell Kodi where you want your user data stored. Don't let it actually determine where it's going to be stored. I'll put a link in the show notes to my guide on how to move your user data to external storage. That guide actually has a part of it where you actually create this properties file on the Fire TV, and that properties file just has the directory of where your user data is stored. And so even if you're not using external storage for your user data and you want your user data stored internally, you could still follow that guide and actually, instead of putting the external directory that guide suggests you use, you could just put the internal storage directory, which is /sd card/android/data/org.xbmc.com, something like that. You can find the directory where Kodi stores its user data on Kodi's wiki. So if you just search for user data, it'll tell you the Android directory there, and you just have to copy and paste that into that properties file that you create using that guide that I'll link below. Our next question here from Tony. He says he has a rooted Fire TV with TWRP installed and RBox's pre-rooted 5.0.5 ROM, and he's wondering if you can install alternate Android launchers on the Fire TV, and he's worried about breaking normal startup and not being able to get into his Fire TV after installing an alternate launcher. Yeah, you can definitely install alternate launchers, and Nova launcher is the one that Tony specifically is talking about here. Yeah, there's no risk in installing that. Worst case scenario, for whatever reason, you can't get into the regular Fire TV home screen anymore. If you make some settings or you sideload RBox's module, RBox has a module for Exposed that lets you select which app will be selected as the startup app. Worst case, if you can't get into the Fire TV settings, I have a guide that I'll link down below on an ADB command that you can launch to get into your settings directly. It basically, you run that command and it launches the Fire TV settings right off the bat, and then from there you can go in and like force quit an app or clear an app's data, and that will let you actually get into the Fire TV's home screen. And absolute worst case, you can always, since you have TWRP, go into TWRP, clear your data from there, and that will basically restore everything and get you back into your Fire TV's home screen. So definitely no risk. Go ahead and try alternate launchers as much as you want. Next question here from Ray is asking if I've had a chance to update my older guide specifically on how to move full games to external storage for FireOS 5. Something I've still been planning to do, but no, I have not gotten around to going through all those older guides that were written for FireOS 3 and updated them to FireOS 5 yet. I still plan to do it. Hopefully in the next few weeks, I'll actually get around to, you know, updating those slowly as I go through them and seeing if there is still a way to do that stuff on FireOS 5. Next question here from Florian. He says, is there a way to possibly show personal pictures in 4K UHD without the Amazon Cloud on Fire TV? I don't know of a way. It would have to be a sideloaded app or an official Fire TV app that actually is capable of going into 4K mode. There are not many apps that do that. Only a very small handful of video apps can do that right now, because for a Fire TV app to do that, the developer actually has to contact Amazon and get a special library that they add into their app. If there are any app developers out there that are looking at making a 4K Amazon Fire TV app, go ahead and email me. I can help you get that going. I have some of those libraries that you need to create a 4K capable app on the Fire TV. And so you can email me at contact@aftvnews.com if you need help with that. I'll be happy to help you. But Florian, for you to actually have a photo viewing app in 4K, the app itself just has to be a 4K capable app. And I don't know of any out there. All right, next question from Mark and also from Dan on Twitter. Both of them are asking if I know when Alexa is going to come to the UK. I do not know. I haven't heard anything. It is something I keep trying to look out for. I've been talking to my Amazon sources. They don't know anything about that either. I haven't heard anything there. Absolutely, as soon as I hear anything about Alexa coming to the UK, I will post about it. My theory, my complete guess is that Amazon is probably working on a second generation Amazon Echo that they will probably release in the US and in the UK and other countries. This is my guess, because the Echo right now, it's about a year and a half old. About a year ago is when the Echo became available for sale to everybody. And about 6 months before that is when the Echo was first launched and was available to invite only list for Prime members. And so the Echo has been very popular, Alexa has been very popular, and Amazon has been putting a lot of effort behind it. So I imagine they're gonna create a second generation Echo. And you know, it's been a year now since the Echo has been available to everybody, so I think we're pretty close to a second gen Echo being released. And I would imagine that maybe Amazon is waiting to release that second gen Echo so that that is the device that brings Echo outside of the US. Again, this is completely my guess, but it kind of makes sense to how Amazon does things. When the Fire TV was first released, it was only available in the US. It slowly came to other countries. And then when the Fire TV 2 was released, that kind of expanded it out even more to other countries. So I think they're probably going to do the same thing with the Echo. So probably waiting on new hardware before we see the Alexa and the Echo released in the UK. All right, next question is from Kevin. He says he has a Flurk USB dongle on his Fire TV, and he's wondering if he can use it with his Sling Player app to trigger channel up and channel down commands. That will basically be up to the actual app itself. If the app itself supports keyboard keys that will trigger those channel up and channel down specifically, then the Flurk will be able to do it. But if the app itself doesn't support an actual keyboard connected to do that action, then there's no way the Flurk can do it itself. Because the Flurk device, for those who don't know, it's just a little IR receiver that you plug into the USB port on the Fire TV, and it allows you to use any IR remote control to control your Fire TV. And the nice thing about the Flurk dongle is that you can basically program any keyboard command and assign that to a button on an IR remote. And so basically, Kevin, if you can plug in a USB keyboard into your Fire TV and trigger the channel up and channel down command in the Sling Player app, then you'll be able to trigger that with the Flurk and an IR remote. But you know, the first step is to actually connect that keyboard and see if you can actually get it to work that way, you know, without the Flurk involved at all. If you do find an actual key on the keyboard that will trigger the channel up or channel down, then all you have to do is go into the Flurk's app and actually program the IR commands using the keyboard setting, not the Fire TV settings. So the Flurk app actually has several options when you're programming the Flurk itself. Don't select the actual Fire TV option, just select the keyboard option, and you'll get a full-on keyboard, and then you'll be able to select which keys you want to program, and those will work on the Fire TV. All right, next question is from Master Blaster. He's asking if I've heard anything about Nvidia Shield getting an official Amazon video app. I have not heard anything. He's asking me if I can talk to my sources. I'll definitely put out some feelers to see if there's anything there, but I haven't heard anything new. I imagine something like the Nvidia Shield is more likely to get an official Amazon video app than something like the Nexus Player or the Apple TV, because those are official, more official devices from those manufacturers, from Google, from Apple. And the reason the Amazon video app is not on those devices, the Apple TV and the Nexus Player, is basically because Amazon, you know, we've talked about this a lot in the past, but Amazon is basically making a stance and wants kind of special privileges with in-app purchases on those devices. And so I would imagine that maybe they'll release one for the Nvidia Shield, because Nvidia doesn't have a Play Store or an App Store themselves. They do have a game store, but they don't actually have an App Store that is taking a cut. And so it's possible we'll see an Amazon video app released for the Nvidia Shield. I would say it's the most likely device out of all the streaming devices that don't currently have an Amazon video app. It's probably the most likely one to receive it, but I still wouldn't, you know, hold my breath on it and expect it to be released. All right, next question here from Lori. She's saying, when I was speculating about new features coming to the next-gen Fire TV, specifically 4K and HDR, she's wondering if she doesn't have, or somebody doesn't have, a TV that's capable of 4K and HDR, is it best for them to just stick with the current version of the Fire TV? Definitely, I would imagine that there would probably be more features than just HDR coming to the next-gen Fire TV, so there may be other reasons why you might want to upgrade your device or buy the new next-generation Fire TV, assuming we are going to see one near the end of the year. Definitely, moving from the Fire TV 1 to the Fire TV 2, it did seem like if you didn't have a 4K TV, it wasn't really worth the jump. I mean, you did see a micro SD slot, which was nice, in addition to that USB port, and you did see a better processor, so games performed a little bit better. I have a video I'll link down below if you haven't seen it, of Grand Theft Auto running on the first gen Fire TV and the second gen Fire TV, and you can see a clear difference between the actual frame rate of the actual game. So even if you didn't have a 4K TV, there were still benefits to getting the next generation device, or benefits in general to the next generation device over the first gen device. And so I assume that a third generation Fire TV will have the same benefits, but I do think that HDR will probably be a big selling point on a next generation, you know, Fire TV. But hey, even the Fire TV Stick is still a very capable device. And I always say, if the main purpose of using the Fire TV or the Fire TV Stick is to just stream 1080p video, you don't need that much CPU. You don't need that crazy of a device. You know, the Fire TV Stick with its weaker dual core processor is still very capable of doing that because of the actual hardware encoding decoder that is on the device itself. Most likely, if you're happy with your non-4K content, you don't need all those big bells and whistles, a third generation device probably won't be that interesting to you. That is though, if we see a similar jump with the third gen device. I kind of imagine that we'll see a bigger jump and more feature set with a third gen device than we saw with the second gen Fire TV, just because these big manufacturers like Amazon and like Google, like Apple, they tend to go on a what's called a TikTok cycle, where the device will be released and then there'll be an incremental small upgrade on the second generation, and then the third generation will be a bigger update, and then again the fourth generation will be a smaller update. So that's the TikTok cycle. So, you know, we're currently on the tick cycle, not the talk. You know, the second generation is considered the talk, third generation would be the tick. So I think the Fire TV will go along that same route. We'll probably see a physically different looking box. We might see a physically different remote. You know, maybe we'll see something like a headphone jack on the remote itself, just like they added a headphone jack on the completely redesigned game controller. So I am expecting that sort of stuff, just to entice people to upgrade and to, you know, make the device seem that much more enticing. All right, that'll conclude the 46th episode of the AFTV Newscast. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for watching if you're watching the YouTube version. If you are watching that YouTube version, please hit that like button down below. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/AFTVNews. As always, I stream live Fridays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, and always put up the episode after the fact on Saturdays in audio formats on multiple sources like TuneIn, like iTunes, like Stitcher, like Google Play Music. So you can subscribe through all of that. You can obviously also just get the regular RSS feed. There'll be a link to that below as well. And you can also subscribe through the video version, which also goes up on Saturdays. If you're listening to the audio version, I always put a link to the video version in my show notes. So if you ever are listening to the audio version and you're in a situation where you can watch the video, just look in that show notes, hit that link button, and that'll take you over to the YouTube version. But yeah, thank you so much for watching, and thank you so much for sticking around to the very end, and hope to see you next week.